Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
So, what does it mean to you that God is Alpha and Omega? Think about that for a moment. What does it mean to you personally that God is Alpha and Omega? Right? That means that He is the beginning and the end. That means that before we got here, He was here. I was sharing earlier today with someone that in Ephesians, it talks about how before the foundations of the world, that God knew us. And so what we were talking about earlier today is, so whatever it is that I'm going through, God already ordained me to do whatever it is that He called me to do before I even stepped even into my circumstances. And so if you're ever thinking, you say, well, Lord, I can't do what it is that you want me to do because of this situation. And God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I called you before anything begun. Before you were even released into the family that you were raised in, I called you before that. So you can't say, well, it's because of my family that I can't do what it is that the Lord wants me to do. And God is saying, I called you to do what I called you to do before your family even existed. So you say, well, I can't do what the Lord called me to do because of society. I called you to do whatever I called you to do before even society existed. He is Alpha and Omega, and He'll still be here when we're not. Amen? So when you think of the vastness of God and you think about what it is that we experience in life, it almost makes it so small because He was here before it all began. You know, somebody said, well, who created God? No one. He always existed. And when all that He has created, His human beings, right, when this earth passes away and we're called to be home with Him and a new kingdom is established, He still existed. So whatever I'm going through doesn't shake God because He always existed. There's nothing that He hasn't seen. In the scripture in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. And so it may be new to us. We may, wow, this thing that I'm going through, I bet you nobody ever say this. I bet you nobody ever experienced what I'm going through. And God said, just spend a little bit of time with me and I'll give you the assurance that somebody has. Amen? And then the beauty is that His Son, He sends Jesus as His only begotten Son to come right in the midst of life, to experience life as we experience it. And then Jesus resurrects it and says, you know what, greater works will you do. Like, Jesus, you walked on water. Greater works? You raised people from the dead. Greater works? Like, are you serious? And He says, yep, I'm serious. Amen. So whatever it is that you sense that the Lord is leading you to do in life, number one, I would say this, because someone may need to hear it. God is not done with you yet. So let's get that out of the way. Check that box. He's not done with you yet. He still has something that He wants to bring through you, right? And then whatever it is that He wants to bring through you, He didn't just come up with it in 2026. Before the foundations of the world, He had you in mind. And He was just hoping that one day you would believe His Son as Lord and Savior so that the two of y'all can come together and do a great work. Amen? So I'm going to say it again. Does somebody back there say amen? Sound like a little kid was like, amen. So I'll say this again. If you think God is done with you, He's not. He's not done. And whatever it is that He wants to do through you, He didn't just come up with it recently. He had you in mind before the foundations of the earth or the foundations of the world. Wow. Amen. Man. So don't, sometimes we say, look to your neighbor. Don't look to your neighbor. Just kind of put your hand on your chest and say, what's your excuse? Talking to yourself, what's your excuse? What can you come up with to say, God, you can't use me? Think about it. Come up in your mind with the biggest thing you can right now. Right? And God says, I'm Alpha and Omega. I was here before it started, and I'll be here when it all ends. And I called you to do whatever you are sensing before the foundations of the world. What's your excuse? Amen? So let's wrestle with that a little bit as we go throughout the message, as we go through. I forgot to do this earlier. If you are here at Purpose Church for the first time, you ain't got to stand up. Just wave at me as I look across. All right. Oh, we got a lot of people. Hello, 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 hello. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Well, certainly, thank you for being here. If you have not done so already, before you leave, if you can visit our Connect Center that's out there, and they have a little gift for you in the box that will remind you of being here at Purpose Church. All right, so let's get through the Word. All right, y'all ready to get into the Word? Because if y'all not ready, then I'm up here preaching to myself. But y'all ready? So I usually don't look at people, so now I'm looking at people. Y'all ready, 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 ready? We used to do this on the range. Ready on the left, ready on the right, you know, and all that. Y'all ready, ready, ready? Let's do this, let's do this. All right. I even got a fist pump back there as well. All right. So let's get into the Word of God. So we've been dealing with this area of the Holy Spirit on one accord. And again, we've been talking about it's not so much us striving so hard to be on one accord with people, but we want to be on one accord with God. So let's look at the scripture, and we want to focus on the Holy Spirit. And they were singing the song about the Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. So Acts 1:6 says this in the Amplified Classic Edition. It says, so when they were assembled, the disciples, they were with Jesus. He had risen from the dead. He came back. He's spending time with them. They asked Jesus, Lord, is this the time when you will reestablish the kingdom and restore it to Israel? Let's look at this scripture here. I'm going to read it, and then I want to read it again. He said, Jesus said to them, it is not for you to become acquainted with and know what time brings. In other words, the things and events of times and their definite periods, or fixed years and seasons, their critical niche in time, which the Father has appointed, fixed and reserved by his own choice, his own authority, and his personal power. Let's read it again. Jesus said to them, it is not for you to become acquainted with and know what time brings, the things and events of times and their definite periods, or fixed years and seasons, their critical niche in time, which the Father has appointed, fixed and reserved by his own choice and authority and personal power. So, of course, we're going to break this down, but I want to keep moving through it. I'm praying that I'll be able to get to the end of this message. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
I can do it. Amen. So the first thing is, and we're going to kind of come back to that scripture in a moment, pieces of it, and pull it out. We as people of God, we have to stop worrying so much about time, but focus more on how God is leading us by the Holy Spirit. So the disciples were so focused in this moment that Jesus was talking to them on when was he going to establish his kingdom, right? Because they were looking, Messiah means king, the anointed one, that this Messiah, this promised king, would eventually come back and take over, for an example, Rome. And so that Jesus would become the king of Israel and that they would definitely be there as his associates. So they were very focused. Now, they're talking to Jesus who had just risen from the dead. So this is not, I mean, this is the same Jesus, but this is after he was crucified, died, buried, and was risen from the dead. He's coming back and he's visiting his disciples for about 40 days. And they're still asking him natural timelines of when he is going to establish his kingdom. Do we find ourselves in those same areas where God is speaking to us, we sense it upon our heart, that the Lord is speaking or guiding or leading us in a certain area, And all we are worried about is time or events, right? Go back to the scripture. We're worried about time or events or definite periods or fixed years or seasons. And God is sharing with us, I need for you to stop focusing so much on the calendar or places or seasons, but I need you to lean more into what you are sensing the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. You know, it's like this. God, if I don't see it, then I don't believe it. Can I tell you, faith is not about that. We walk by faith and not by what? So if my walk with God is based upon what I can see, I will not do the things that I'm sensing the Holy Spirit leading me to do. If my walk with God is based upon what I can grab hold of, or if my walk with God is based upon seasons, so this usually happens during this season, and this usually happens during this season, do you not know that God will come in and just like change things during the season? Just to switch it up. You know why? Because he wants to know, do you depend more upon me or what you can calculate? Time is something I can calculate. I got time. I'm good. Yeah, this is just a season that I'm going through. Anybody ever say that? And the reason why sometimes we're saying that, or sometimes somebody say it to us, this too shall pass. Well, you don't know what God has in store for me. And so sometimes we say things to people based upon the season of life that we are in, and we're trying to project that upon them to encourage them. But it may be a different season that you're in than I'm in. And I got to watch giving you guidance during a season that I'm in that you may not be in. You know, it took me 40 days to get through that. I fasted for 40 days, and then the Lord just broke that thing off of my life. I'm operating based upon time. Am I trusting God? Do I trust more that after 40 days something will happen because I did it in 40 days? Or am I trusting that God will move whenever he want to? Can you imagine that I depend so much on time that I wait until 40 days is over with, but God wants to do it in 10 days? But because I'm locked into time and season and events and all of these different things that I've become familiar with, I'm almost quenching the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is trying to direct me left, and I say, nope, 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 because last season I went left and that didn't work, Lord. So I'm going to go right. And the question in this moment, do we trust more in our calculation, or are we leaning and depending upon God? Amen? So some of us may say, you know, I can't wait until Sunday get here. You know, this week has been a challenge, but if I can just get to Sunday and get to church, then things will move. That's me. I'm trying to calculate it. I'm trying to control it based upon what I think will work. Or somebody may say this already. We're halfway through 2026. 2027 is going to be my year. I done gave up on 2026 already. Anybody saying that, you know, like 2027 is going to be my year, right? For some folks that may be wanting to get out of here because you really don't like Delaware or you don't like your job or whatever it is and all that kind of thing, as soon as I get out of this place, things are going to get better. Events, places, times. Or for age-wise, you may say, you know, when I turn whatever age is, y'all supposed to call out your age, y'all supposed to finish it. When I turn such and such, you know, we just have to be careful. This is not saying that we don't get any knowledge, that we don't become acquainted with any of these different things, that we don't plan for anything, that we don't schedule anything, but we have to give room for the Holy Spirit. How full is your calendar? Is your calendar so full sometimes that like the different colors and everything? Is there any space for God to just move? Is there any space in your calendar for this next week for the Holy Spirit to shift something? Or is your calendar so tight because we have to be in control? We have to be in so much control. And if not careful, God is saying, you're trying to control me. But let me remind you, I am Alpha and Omega. But if not careful, we're trying to control. Lord, I should be over this by now. Lord, you should be moving in this place by now. God, you should have released this by now. You should have changed us. God. Instead of me saying, Lord, what is your will concerning this situation? You know, I think sometimes we come before the throne of grace with confidence because of who we are in Christ. But we've got to be careful that we're not, I'm trying to stick my chest out if y'all can't tell. You know, we got to make sure that we're not coming out and sticking our chest out and like, you know, God, like, come on, God. I know you're God. You ever say that? I know you're God, but if it was up to me. So plan, schedule, meditate. Whatever it is, vision boards, whatever, all of that, right? But give space for the Holy Spirit to lead us in our life. So here's a question for us. What time, what thing, what event, what period or season are you currently waiting for in your life? Right now, just think of something. What is it that you're currently, it's scheduled, it's an event, it's a thing that you're waiting for, it's a certain period, it's a season that you're waiting to happen. Like, what is it that you're waiting for right now? And then the question becomes, cool, that's great, we should plan for that. Invite the Holy Spirit into that waiting period. So whatever thing you are waiting for, you're believing for, whatever it is, okay, Holy Spirit, help me in this area. God, by your Spirit, help me in this area. Whatever event that you're planning for, I guarantee you there's a bunch of people in here planning for an event. You are about to engage in something. Have you committed that to God? Commit your way unto the Lord. Invite him. And don't be afraid that the Lord, like you give it to God and when he give it back to you, it's going to be different. You know? If I give this event to God and he gives it back to me by his Spirit through my meditation, I get some, it's not going to be what I wanted it to be. Then maybe it's not supposed to be what you wanted it to be. Give it to God. This period of time that you're in, some of you guys are in a certain period of time right now. Now, you know you are. You're in a period of time. Some of you like it. Some of you don't like it. But you're in a period of time. Give that period of time to God. Or is there a season that you know you're about to transition into a different season? Give that season to God. Listen, he is Alpha and Omega. So he has an idea about what you're about to step into. So ask him, Lord, prepare me for this next season of my life. I'm planning for it. Prepare me for it. What is it that I need to know for this next season of my life? Please hear me out. Please do not go into this next season of your life based upon calculated decisions that you came up with from a previous season that is similar to the season that you're about to step into. Go back with your Bible and ask God, prepare me for this next season. Amen? So that's probably like a few people there like, gosh darn it. I thought I'd just be going right back to, listen, it's never the same. It's never the same. Never. You know why? Because you're not the same. You're not the same person that you were that you're about to step into the season with. Amen. So why carry the same thing into the next season? You ain't the same. Stop it. Don't do it. Amen? So the disciples asked this question. The question they asked Jesus, when will you reestablish the kingdom and restore it to Israel? And then Jesus answered and said, it is not for you to become acquainted with and know it. It's not that Jesus is saying, there's a difference between knowing, there's a difference between knowing and knowing, right? This whole area of acquaintance. It's not Jesus saying, I don't want you to know nothing about nothing. He is saying, I don't want you to get so intimately involved about the next season and time and next kingdom that you miss me. And that's what he's breaking. So let's break this down. So this word, when he says, it's not for you to know, this is a knowing through personal experience. My heart desire, my prayer is that you see that this knowing is just beyond like, oh yeah, I know that. It is, I know it because I've become entangled with it. It's firsthand acquaintance, right? So it's this, I have experienced it type of knowing and not just top of mind knowing. This knowing that Jesus is talking about is becoming one with what we know to the point that it produces something in our life. It's almost as if I am so intimately acquainted with what I know that I actually give birth to something. The concern is if we chase after knowledge to the point that we ignore God, are we producing what God wants us to produce? And so Jesus is telling these disciples, don't get so caught up in wanting to know when I'm going to reestablish my kingdom that you miss me. Jesus is literally talking to them. He's right in front of them. And they're like, so I know you're here, but when are you going to do the next thing? And I'm surprised Jesus didn't say, did you not just realize I was raised from the dead? And there was a moment that I just walked through the door. And you're asking me about reestablishing my kingdom. Are you paying attention to what? That I was dead. They buried me. I am now resurrected. And sometimes we can miss the current experience with God because we're like, okay, I see you, God, but when's the next thing going to happen? Don't become so intimate with wanting to know the next that you miss the Holy Spirit leading you right now. And this is where I believe God is, he'll speak to us and say, I need you to come on back. Because some of us are staying up all night trying to figure out our next move. And we're on the computer, we're whatever it is that we're doing. Whatever it is, we are up. And during that moment, are we inviting the Holy Spirit to give us revealed knowledge, revelation, revealed knowledge in regards to what it is that he is leading us into? Amen? So picture your journal, whatever it is you write down your plans in. Is there a section where you can say, this is what the Lord shared with me? Or is it, this is what I came up with? Is your whole plan what you came up with? Or are there some moments where you had to write down, ooh, I sense God sharing that with me. I don't understand it yet, but I'm going to revisit it. Or is everything in your plan things that you can understand? As a believer in Jesus Christ, there has to be moments where there's just certain things I just don't get because I haven't gotten the rest of it from God yet. Sometimes portions just don't make sense, but it will. Not now. Keep going. Amen? Amen. I hope that right now some of y'all are like, yep, there's this area of my life that I got a plan down and I have 5 pages of my plan. When I retire, and there's no note section on the side where I say, oh, the Lord is speaking to me concerning this area right here. Give space for God to write upon the tablet of your heart. as God writes, he's writing upon some of our hearts, but we're not writing it because it doesn't make sense. Write it. It will make sense. Come on, are y'all with me? If we are living our lives as believers of Christ only based upon when it makes sense to us, we are not living our life by faith. We're living our life by our own calculated, can I say this, doctrine? Doctrine is belief. So I believe it, so it's true. But what about if God is speaking something to you and you haven't quite grasped it yet? Can you still believe it? I'm telling you, we got to watch that. This is the reason why different religions get started. Well, I don't quite understand that, so I'm going to go on here and start my own little thing. God is speaking, and we're on this thing dealing with the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to get back to the book of Luke, but God keeps speaking in this book of Acts, in this area of the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down. The Holy Spirit is more than just goosebumps and all that kind of stuff. It is, man. Please watch Bible study from last Monday night if you get a chance. It is the Holy Spirit receiving from the Father and disclosing it to us. That's one of my prayers, is God, please, by your Spirit, disclose to me what you are trying to reveal to me. And Holy Spirit, help me to get understanding of what it is that that the Father is saying. Amen? Man, I guarantee you that bunch of us got a bunch of doctrines and you don't even know it. You have a doctrine on salvation. Well, I just don't quite believe that. You got the doctrine on the Holy Spirit. You got a doctrine on healing. You got doctrine on speaking in tongues. You got all these different doctrines that you came up with because you don't believe it or because it doesn't make sense. Let me tell you something. The way that I'm sharing this with you, this is sometimes the way when I'm in my private space with the Lord that I feel like the Holy Spirit is like grabbing me and saying, looking me in the eyes and saying, do you hear me talking to you? But Lord. let me look that up and see if it makes sense. Let me call somebody and see if that makes sense. Stop calling people. Especially before the seed is able to get down in your heart. God is releasing his word, and it's still on the surface, and we calling other people asking for their opinion. They were not with you when the Holy Spirit spoke that to you, so they may just not understand it. Wait until what God is speaking to you gets down to a point where somebody can't just snatch it. And then call them. But what it is believe it a little bit deeper before you go ask somebody else's opinion about it. Amen? Boy, I tell you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God dwelling in the heart of his people to reveal to his people, the mind of the Father. We get caught up in the spiritual gifts. God's like, I'm just trying to get your attention. Amen. Amen. The Lord called me to do this. Can you sit down with the Holy Spirit a little bit and get your life together and then do it from that perspective? Have an intimate knowledge and hear what the Lord is saying. We need to stop equating whether God can use us based upon how much we know. See, we are doing this. Well, the Lord can only use me to hear because that's all I know. That's all you know. What if the Holy Spirit is trying to move through you at this level? Stop equating to how much God can use you based upon how much you know. Well, I don't have as much experience they have. I don't have the knowledge they have. I don't have this, but the Holy Spirit is prompting upon me to do whatever it is more and more and more. But I don't quite equate to where they are. I don't know what they know. And God is constantly prompting you. Sin is not based upon that. That is a sign that you are dependent upon your own knowledge more than the Holy Spirit. Now, God will lead you down paths so that you can pick up some experience here and some knowledge here and some experience. But if you stand here stubborn and saying, God, I can't do it because I don't know enough. And he's saying, but I know enough. And if you can just trust me. Just trust me. Come on. And lean not to what? My own understanding. But in all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he'll do what? He'll direct my paths. But it's like, I think y'all get it. Amen? So look, the angel comes, and this is dealing with knowledge. Hold on. The same word. Knowledge that is used in Acts 1:7, or 1:7 is the same word knowledge that's in this verse here. Pray that you see the correlation. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I do not know a man? So I know she's talking about, y'all with me? Y'all heard this story before. She's talking about, no. She's talking about, I have not been intimate with a man, so how can I give birth to the Son of God if I have not been intimate with a man? The angel says and answered and said to her, look at this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Is it possible that we are so stuck at how can this be since I don't know? I don't know, so how can it be? And we don't even give God a chance to respond and say, the way that what I'm asking you to do is going to be is that the Holy Spirit for us, speaking to us now as believers, the Holy Spirit that's on the inside of you will come upon you and give you the ability to do what it is that I'm calling you to do. But if I stop and I just say, well, how this going to be? Like, how am I going to do what you want me to do since I don't know? I'm not acquainted with that event. I'm not acquainted with that time. I'm not acquainted with that situation. God, you're asking me to do something that I've never been a part of before. I've never been acquainted with that, but you're asking me to do that. And many of us, we stop because we don't know. And that Mary had she asked the question, so ain't nothing wrong with that. But the way that it was going to be involved the Holy Spirit. And the way that God is going to move through our life, and whatever it is he's impressing upon your heart, is through and by his Holy Spirit. And in this case, it says the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And I love the part where it says that the power of the highest or the most high will overshadow you. I love that. Because if it overshadows me, you don't even see me. Amen. You see God. And this is where people come and they look at your life and they ask you this question. How is it that you're able to do what it is you're doing? And you're like, it's God. And sometimes we take that as this deep answer, well, praise to the Lord and all that kind of stuff and everything. But when you know that when you said yes to God, that you calculated in your mind, I can't do this, but you're doing it. And for some of you in here, you think you're not doing it, but you are doing it. But because you think that it's supposed to look a certain way, you think you're not doing what God wants you to do, but you actually are. But in your mind, you think it's supposed to look this way. But that's not how God operates. If we all did it the same way, we'll be reaching all the same people. If everybody taught the way that I'm talking, we would run people away. Because some of this stuff right here is too much for people. But you can share whatever you sense in God say to you in a different way, and they will listen to you. So don't try to do it based upon somebody else. Do it based upon the way that you are sensing God wants you to do it. So for some of you, you're actually walking out the will of God for your life, but because it don't look like somebody else, you think you're not doing it. And I love Mary's response in verse 28 or 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. Have you ever said yes to God and you're still waiting for another confirmation? The moment she said, "Let it be," the angel departed. Have you ever said yes to God and then you felt like you were alone? "I surrender, God." "Where'd you go, Lord?" He didn't leave you. He just don't need to say the same thing to you. "Lord, say it to me one more time. God, remind me of what it is that you said last time." And you're listening. And you're listening. There's no need. You heard it. Now walk in it.
Amen.
Do it. But I don't know. Can you imagine Mary? But so what do I do next? Am I pregnant now? Am I pregnant the moment that I said yes? When will I start showing? When do I tell Joseph? Oh, and here's the part. What will other people think? So when I start walking. But here's the beauty. Your cousin, Elizabeth, is also pregnant. But Mary had to receive it before she went to go talk to Elizabeth. And that goes back to the part where I was saying, we've got to receive it. You've got to receive what it is that the Lord is speaking to you. Receive it. Listen, and God will lead you to people who have also received. God will lead you to people who are also in the same season, kind of, that you are in. So don't hide in the house. Don't be afraid to go out because you're now pregnant with what God has given you. Keep living. Don't all of a sudden become this spooky person. "Well, I need 30 days off from work because the Lord is dealing with me." Nope, God is going to use the ingredients of work to help form what it is that he is calling you to do. So don't go thinking that you got to escape society to do the work that God has called you to do. Because his spirit is with you. And some of us will say, "Well, the prophets the Lord called Moses to do, that was Old Testament. They didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of them." There's no need for God to call you to this remote place for him to speak to you. He can speak to you while you're watching the World Cup. So it's not that deep. And right now, God is speaking to people. But what will you do after this? What will you do after this? Naturally, in your mind, spiritually, what will you do after this? Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be, God. And I'm not going to ask you to say that out loud because I don't want your neighbor to say, don't you remember you said let the Lord use you, and they try to bring it back on you. But if there is something within your heart that you have not said, let it be, let it be. I pray, God, that your will be done in and through my life. And you've been holding out. You've been holding out because it doesn't make sense. Let today in this space, in your heart, you can say it out loud if you want to, but in your heart, say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. I don't want to hold back the things because I feel like I don't have enough money for it. I ain't got enough time for it. The kids, they're not old enough yet. This is going on. This is my body, my mind, all this stuff. And God, can I say, if God didn't want you to start moving in it, he wouldn't have shared it with you. He would have waited, because God doesn't waste anything. So if you're sensing it, that means that the Lord is either prompting you to take the first step or keep going. If you are sensing it, the Lord is ready for you to start taking some steps towards it. And I don't know what that is for you. I don't know. But don't hold it back. Just yield yourself to God. He's got you. And he knows more than we ever could, because he is the Alpha and the Omega. Amen.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in his love, and live out his purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.